We're going to talk about rest, but don't fall asleep, okay? So if you didn't get a good night's rest, try to stay awake, and I think you'll be encouraged and blessed as we look at God's Word and learn some important principles. Last year, 2024, over 550 billion dollars was spent globally in the sleep industry, okay? So sleep industry, $550 billion spent globally in the sleep industry. I'm going to give you an illustration or an idea of what that entails. Now, to respect your privacy, because I understand that some of you are private people, so respect your privacy, don't stand until the very end. If you own one of these things or you do one of these things to try to get a better night's rest. Okay, so I'm going to go through a list and keep your, listen. And then at the end, if one of those things applies to you, then I want you to stand, all right? Sleep mask, if you have a sleep mask. If you have a blackout shade or curtain. If you use a fan, a sound machine, or something similar to try to help you sleep. If you have a pillow. If you sleep on a mattress. If you have a weighted blanket, if you have a heated blanket or a mattress pad, if you have special air conditioning machines for your bed, if you have an adjustable bed, if you use special oils to try to help you sleep, if you use or have any of those, would you please stand? I did say mattress and pillow. Some of you are wondering, some of you are looking like, I don't know. If you sleep on a mattress or if you have a pillow, all right, everybody can be seated. So from your testimony, then none of us just sleep on the hard floor without a pillow, it appears. And at least all of us use a mattress. So that is the sleep industry. So if you have purchased or have any of those things, you contributed to that $550 billion that was spent in 2024. So all of us would agree, I think, that rest is important. Yes or no?
Yes.
But is rest spiritual? That's the question we're going to look at today and next Sunday as well. Is rest still spiritual? So why not start with anybody else or the most important, the one and only? What does God think? What does God think about rest? Is this still important to Him? God included rhythms of rest in His creation. God included rhythms of rest in His creation. Very common greeting in Atlanta, Georgia, especially for those of us who grew up, in this area, and English is our first language, would be at this time of day or earlier, if you saw someone, a common greeting would be what? Good morning. Now, others who maybe English is your second language or you've had the opportunity to live in different countries, what would you say, what would be a common greeting for this time of day in your country or in your heart language? Who said that? All right. Right? Bonjour. Okay, yes. Bom dia. That's right, Portuguese. Right? I won't try to imitate that, but very good. Well, Sinchao. Yes, yep, that too. So all over the world, if you were to board a plane at Atlanta Airport, you go to Hartsfield International Airport and board a plane, and you fly all over the world, there will be most likely some phrase that indicates the good morning or the good start of the day, as well as in the evening. There's usually a phrase that will say boa noite or good evening or good night, because God included in His creation this very rhythm that we call evening and morning. God created the daily rhythm of evening and morning. Notice Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning. Help me finish the verse. The first day. All right, now we look at Genesis 1:8. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. This goes on in Genesis 1:13, Genesis 1:19, verse 23, verse 31. So there is a rhythm that in the very first week of creation, and from the very first day, God included these rhythms of rest in His creation and of daily rest. In fact, all living things, if you think about plants, if you think about fish, birds, any living thing will have some rhythm of rest. They don't sleep maybe like humans sleep, but there is some built in God's design way that they have restoration, that there is some rest in all living things. Now, maybe if one of your coworkers, maybe a family member, maybe one of your friends who doesn't seem to stop, they just go and they go and they go and they don't seem to tire ever, you may say, boy, that person is a machine. Have you ever said that to someone? Man, you're like a machine. I mean, you just go and you go and you go and you go. But yet God built in to his own creation these rhythms, this daily rhythm of evening and morning. Remember this? Right? God didn't make us to be like the Energizer Bunny. He didn't make us to just go and go and go and go. And no, he made us and he put evening and morning and day and night. So then in a sense, we would be reminded, hey, you need to rest. You need to rest. You need these rhythms of rest. For almost six millennia, the pattern of rest and work followed in large part this pattern that he created. Before the light bulb, before Thomas Edison made the light bulb scalable and that became a very common part of our world, for the six millennia prior to that, much of rest and work evolved around when did the sun come up, when did the sun go down. But once, you know, electricity and once the light bulbs and all those, you know, these, in fact, light bulbs, the hallway is darker this morning, I noticed. So just a fun fact, I think they're putting in new lights, hopefully we'll put in more. I love light. But so anyway, all of this, these things changed. Because when all of a sudden you could turn on lights and work longer, and then you could have, how many of you have worked shift work at some point? You've worked second shift, third shift. My hand is raised. Raise them really high. Okay. So our patterns have been drastically affected by some of this. I have pulled a few all-nighters in my life, and I did not enjoy them. They're not fun. Some of you work night shift. And you recognize the difficulty of this kind of, you work some nights and then you have to kind of fall back into what we consider a regular rhythm, but is it any more for you? I mean, these things are difficult, and in large part because God has instituted in his own creation these daily rhythms of rest. In fact, these rhythms are so reliable. Notice this next passage in Lamentations. God uses this built-in daily rhythm of rest to compare and to really give support to his steadfast love. Notice this in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And then notice what he uses to support or to give really strength to that statement. They are new every what? Morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So yes, God created the daily rhythm of evening and morning, but also God modeled the weekly rhythm of rest. He modeled this weekly rhythm of rest on the seventh day. As we've spent a lot of time in this already, but did God need to physically rest? Was he just like, at the end of day six, did he, you know, oh man, that was a lot. Is that what God did? No, God did not need a physical rest, but yet we see in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. He rested, he ceased on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Now, the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 121 something in a way that God is very different than any of us. Some of us might even last 48 hours without rest. But we would be hard-pressed to go much past that before we just shut down, because that's God, how God made our bodies. But yet the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 121 and verse 4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." So it wasn't as if God, you know, needed this physical rest, but yet he ceased, he stopped this creation work, and he did rest. He modeled that, and he even called it good. He called it holy. So he begins in that very first week, day seven, he begins to show us as his creation, this is important, and this is good, and this is holy. Growing up, my mom, some of you had the privilege to know her, others did not, but my mom, she had some funny mannerisms, as we all do, and I'm sure my kids would say the same thing about me, but she did not like clutter. That just really aggravated her. So sometimes we would be, you know, resting or relaxing after a meal, and she would just see clutter. And she would be like, kids, clutter. And she really didn't do anything with those things. She would just like kind of shift them. I'm like, oh, goodness. And we're like, Mom, just rest. And when Mom would sit, our family would be like, ah, we can rest. Now, Kim tells me kind of the same thing about, she says, David, when you sit, I feel like I can rest. So how much more so, did you say amen? That was not part of the script. Huh? We didn't practice this. Yes, thank you. But how much more so, God Almighty, who created the entire universe in 6 days, spoke everything to existence, things that we have not even seen and will not see with our human eyes, but yet he modeled for us, and he said, this is holy, this is good, this is very important for you to rest. God modeled that for us. God designed us to need regular rhythms of rest. Even before, again, the first machine was ever made, even before the first cell phone was ever invented, even before shift work became an idea, even before TVs, you know, were a thing, God put in his inspired scripture the command to disconnect, the command to put aside some of the distractions of life. In a verse it says, be still and know that I'm God. We have a hard time being still, especially now, because at our fingertips, we can have stuff all the time. We can have, you know, the earbuds in all the time, and we can have things on our screen in the car all the time, and we can have the TV on all the time. We can have the radio on all the time. There's all of this just, we could be bombarded with information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so it's difficult for us as humans, it always has been, because this was in Scripture, way before the first machine, way before the radio, way before the things that we know as modern, our modern world, but yet God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted, Psalm 46:10 says, among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. The importance of disconnecting from the distractions of life. Now, let me give you a very silly illustration, but it's what came to my mind. How many of you have an exhaust hood installed above your stove and oven in your home? You've got an exhaust hood, okay? We do, and we use it often. And usually when it's turned on, I don't think a whole lot about the noise, but it's kind of like this. Do you like that? But then when it's turned off, it's almost as if my body goes, whew. I don't notice it when it's on, you know, how much it's kind of distracting. But then when it's turned off and that noise is taken away, again, it's like my whole body just relaxes a little bit. And God reminds us spiritually, but also physically, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted in the earth. Millennia before the term mental health came into existence, obviously as fallen humans, this has been an issue for these 6,000 years or more. But even before that became, the awareness was raised and all this. Notice what he tells us. Notice what God put in Scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Over 2,000 years ago, this was written. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, I want to ask to back up a few slides before the Philippians pass. Yep, right there. All right. So, part of this, and there's been a lot of secular studies even done on this, and I'm guilty of what I'm about to say, but it's very difficult to disconnect. Often before bed, you know what's one of the last things that I often do before bed? Look at my phone and read the news. It's the news encouraging and just these things that Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things. Is the news the great fulfillment of that? Absolutely not. But I find myself wanting to, oh, well, I've got to figure out what's going on. I need to stay, you know, abreast of what's going on as a pastor, right? Well, probably need to disconnect more. We don't need the TV on all the time. It's okay, in fact, very good for your family to sit around a table and talk without having a TV on all the time. You don't need to have earbuds in. You don't need to listen to music all the time. How many times have I tried to talk to someone and then realized, oh, okay, they have earbuds in, they're not even going to hear me. And so we as humans, especially in this culture, we're around people all the time, often, but a lot of times we kind of isolate ourselves. And I'm now, please understand me. If I see you, you know, at Crunch or something like that, and you have an earbud in, I'm not going to, you wicked! What are you doing? But I'm just saying, as a general rule, think about how often are you kind of isolating yourself, and how often are you kind of you're being consumed by all these things, and you're not being still and knowing that God is God. You're not thinking about the truths that we read in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. And these things, oftentimes, they make us more anxious, and we read these things and we look at these things, and then we have a hard time resting and sleeping and enjoying the peace that only God can bring. God included rhythms of rest in his creation, but also God commanded Sabbath rest through the law. And we've looked a lot at this as we, first of all, looked at day 7 as it was placed in creation and how that really celebrated and commemorated God's work. But then we took kind of a long parenthesis as we evaluated the old covenant and the new covenant and the Sabbath. But we still need to recognize, and it's important to recognize, God did command through the Sabbath rest. Exodus 20, verses 8 and 9, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. Exodus 20, 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Again, pointing back to just this rhythm of rest that God instituted from week one. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Made it holy. God's choice to cease from his creative work was called holy. As was evidenced in the very beginning of the message, and that all of you stood knowing that you at least have a pillow or a mattress or something, and the $550 billion that was spent in 2024, we understand very easily that rest, that sleep, is a creature comfort. But in the Bible, and by God's perspective, we hopefully will see it's much more than that. It's actually one of God's commands. It's not just a creature comfort that, yeah, you know, rest is important. No, it's a command that we actually fulfill and obey. Many employers require their employees to take their time off, their PTO, before the year ends, or it won't be able to be used again. If that's the case of your employer, would you raise your hand? You have to use it or you lose it. You raise your hand? Okay, so most of you will use it. Because you don't want to lose that. Like, no, I earned this time off, so yeah, I'm going to take it. And God is showing us through Scripture, through the daily rhythm, through the weekly rhythm, through his own example, that, listen, take the time to rest. Take the time to rest. God described rest as a gift, Psalm 127, in verse 2. We've all received, I would imagine, that most of us have received something like this. What do I hold in my hand? All right, a gift card. So we've all received, most likely, something like this. What if I were to tell you that this is not just a normal gift card? This is a sleep gift card. Yes, that's right, all right? And this gift card will guarantee you 8 hours of uninterrupted, good sleep for the rest of your life. If we had 100 of these, I think we could fund our new building and land very quickly.
I think we could fund every church in the world.
Yes, because many times rest is elusive. And we need it, we want it. There's no sleep gift card. But if there were, boy, a lot of people would give a lot of money for it. But God describes rest as a gift from Him. Notice Psalm 127 and verse 2. He gives to His beloved sleep. He gives to His beloved sleep. And then notice in Psalm 4. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Now, I want you to understand something. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, throughout modern history, all the way up till today in 2026, has God guaranteed that all of His followers are always in safe circumstances? Yes or no? No. Read through Hebrews 11, and you'll be quickly reminded of people who were sawn asunder, people who were killed, who were martyred for their faith. Acts chapter 11, James, one of the apostles, was killed for his faith. John the Baptist, beheaded for standing up for truth. So this verse is not saying that God will always guarantee that we are in safe circumstances. But what it does guarantee is that in His presence, we will always find security and safety. Remember the verse, for me to live is Christ, but to die is what?
Gain.
So even in very, very dangerous and adverse circumstances, we can still understand that, yes, rest can be a gift from God because I know that in His presence that I will find eternal safety and security in Him. Many nights God gave me, and I truly believe this, God gave me and our family to rest in dangerous neighborhoods in São Paulo, Brazil. There were nights that I spent the night in homes where people had been murdered just days before from near that house. Right around our house that we lived for almost 7 years, there were neighbors of ours. People had broken in, and while they were there, right outside of our walls. We had missionary coworkers that lived about 5 minutes from us. People broke in and held them at gunpoint. And I'm not saying, man, Dave's just such a brave guy. No, I'm not, actually. I didn't own a gun. We couldn't own a gun. I'm not good at karate or anything else. You know, I'm not a big guy. So it was like, God, we rest in You. You've called us here. There's bad things that happen. There's drug gangs and all these things around us. But yet You've called us here. If we die as a family, it's gain because we know You. And so rest is a gift. Those of you who are on Anna's WhatsApp feed have read that she and some others traveled recently to the front lines of the war with Russia to serve. And yet Anna has constantly said, she is not fearless, but Anna's constantly said, it's God who gives peace. God who helps us in these very adverse circumstances, and this is a fulfillment of this truth. The same is true for you. The same is true in the circumstances that you live in, and if you go to any school, Christian or public, in our radius, you will, if you could know the background of every single child in that school, I'll guarantee you there are children in those schools who sleep in some very dangerous circumstances every single night of their life. But yet we have hope that as we can share with them, we can say, hey, I can't necessarily change all of your background, all of how you, the trauma maybe you experience, but in Christ, he can help you to have peace and rest in his presence. It's described as a gift from him. I just want to pause for a minute, actually, and just pray for Anna right now. God, we thank you, Lord, for this gift, not only for Anna, but God, for all of us. Lord, you haven't promised to make the life of Christianity one of ease and one of always being safe, but God, you have promised that we're always in your presence, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, we can see throughout Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, Lord, the modern martyrs of the faith, those that even right now are serving in very difficult circumstances and dangerous places, Lord, like Anna. God, I pray that we would be reminded that in your presence, we can find rest and peace and safety in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue to look through this, of what does God think about this? Think about God the Son practiced rest on earth. How many of you are 30 or younger? You're 30 or younger. Raise your hand really high. Okay, so I want you to think about God the Son, Jesus Christ, waited for as long as your life and maybe more to begin his public ministry. Did he have to do that? God the Son could have started at 3. He could have gone to the synagogue at 3 and wowed everybody. But in his sovereignty and in his timing, he waited. He rested in God the Father's perfect plan and in his growing in stature and in favor with God and man. And I think it will be interesting one day in heaven to say, Lord, can you tell us a little bit more about those first 30 years? Tell us a little bit more about how was it as you grew up, and how was it with the kids, and did you play soccer? I mean, what did you do? But yet he waited for 30 years. But not only that, we see that he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Notice Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. After a really busy week, maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe a combination of all the above, maybe with church stuff included as well. And after a really busy week, maybe you've heard or maybe you've said something like this. This week has been crazy busy. So on Saturday, I didn't plan anything because I just needed some rest or downtime or me time. We understand that this is needed. And Jesus did this. He withdrew to desolate places and he prayed. Jesus rested at times during his journeys. John 4:6 says, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. Jesus even slept during some of the strangest times. And in this way, I feel somewhat spiritual because I can identify. I have slept in some very strange places and strange times. So humor me, but I feel like, man, there's just a connection I have with the Lord. In high school, there's these metal desks, wood tops, but metal. You put the books underneath, and I fell asleep during class, which I did quite often, but I woke up startled, and I kicked the metal part under the desk. Everyone in the room knew that I had been asleep, because like, bah! And Coach Parker, remember to this day, he took a piece of chalk. He says, David, I could replace you with a piece of chalk. And he threw it at me. I'm like, oh, wow. Thank you. I love you too. You know, whatever. But I most of the time, I consider it a great gift to be able to fall asleep easily. But there are some occasions behind the wheel, usually at the supper table. That's not a good place to fall asleep, but I often do fall asleep at the supper table. These are things, they're strange places to fall asleep. I've never fallen asleep while preaching, so hopefully it won't be today. Jesus fell asleep in some strange places. Now, I sincerely believe it wasn't because he just couldn't handle it anymore. Honestly, as we studied in the geographical community groups a few weeks ago, through the storm, I believe that he chose to sleep so that the disciples would have that opportunity to experience despair, experience fear, and just watch him sleep, and then kind of bring them to the question, don't you care that we're about to perish in this storm? We find the passage in Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Now, I've been out on a small boat in the ocean, but I didn't fall asleep. I got sick and was just puking my guts out. But Jesus, he fell asleep. And then notice in Mark 4 and verse 38, but he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Jesus would rest even some strange times. Jesus instructed his disciples to go away from the crowds to rest. Mark 6, verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus, told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, Mark 6, 31, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Jesus found it very important, both for himself and also for his followers, spend some time away and rest. Now, this is somewhat humorous because if you know the rest of the story, anybody remember what came right after this invitation to rest? 5,000 people or more they fed. So as they were going away to a desolate place to rest, the crowd kind of ran ahead of them and arrived like, hey, we're here. And the disciples were probably like, Jesus, I thought we were going to rest. So there is a sense, too, that God will strengthen us even times that require flexibility and we don't feel we can go another moment. God's in control. And even when physically I feel like, man, I cannot see another person, I can't talk to another person, God used them to feed over 5,000 people even after that invitation to rest. Secondly, I want to look in the last few minutes, what did the early church practice? We see that God finds rest to be very important, but also spiritual. What did the early church practice? A scholar by the name of Eckhard Schnabel, did some calculations, and based on his calculations, as reading through the missionary journeys of Paul, he calculated that Paul traveled about 15,500 miles in his ministry, and approximately 8,700 of those miles were on foot. Anybody that has a watch to count your steps, anybody think you've walked that long? Probably not. We don't live in a community, we don't live in a culture where you have to walk as much as Paul did, but 8,700 miles. And so they were certainly tired many times. So I want to run through and just look at some examples of the early church opening their homes and refreshing other believers in Christ and ministering and providing rest. Acts 16 and verse 15, you may remember the Macedonian call. Paul responds to that with his co-workers. One of the very first believers, Lydia, accepted Christ as her Savior. And then immediately after that, notice in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. And after she, Lydia, was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. And so they went and they received that hospitality. They received that rest that Lydia offered. In the very same chapter in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were jailed at Philippi. Through God's miraculous work, they were freed from the jail, but then they were brought into the Philippian jailer's home, who accepted Christ with his household. And notice what happens in verse 33. He, the Philippian jailer, took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. A brand new believer in Christ immediately began to show hospitality and care and providing rest and nourishment for Paul and Silas. Same chapter, Paul and Silas were in prison once again, but they were released. Lydia was not afraid of that. That didn't deter her. She invited them back into her home once again in Acts 16:40. Advance all the way to Acts 27. Paul, under the Roman guard, was given leave to be cared for by his friends. Notice this in Acts 27, verse 3. Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think of Paul as just being this fearless missionary who was just always on. I mean, he was just always ready. And shipwreck or beatings or whatever, sometimes I envision Paul just being like this, here we go, I'm ready, come on. But we see here, no, he allowed his friends to care for him. He had some time to rest, to be cared for, to be refreshed. Acts 28 and verse 7. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. Sometimes we can get so busy, like, no, we got to get this done and this done and this done, and this is on the calendar, and we've got to prepare for this. But yet we see examples in the early church that there was time taken to just rest, both given and showing hospitality, but also received and accepting that hospitality. In 1 Corinthians 16, we encounter Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, who the verse says that they refreshed Paul and others. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 16, 15 through 18. They have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. They refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Throughout college in Wisconsin, we served for the first 2 years of our undergrad. We served at a church called Hillcrest Bible Church. It was about an hour away from our campus. That church had a Sunday morning service and an evening service. So there really wasn't enough time to go all the way back to campus and then come back for the evening. So they would line up families for us to go and stay with the family for the afternoon and have lunch. And we could rest, we could do our college, you know, work. A lot of times we would take our clothes, you know, to wash clothes. College students are smart. I mean, they're like, oh, you're going to have me in for me? Okay, can I wash my clothes too? we'll do all this stuff. And I remember to this day, one family that had us in on a regular basis, and I fell asleep on their couch. Josh Medina fell asleep on my couch yesterday. I didn't think it was a big deal, but I fell asleep on their couch. And when I woke up, this man was a pilot, like a medical evacuation pilot. And I remember, you know, as I woke up and he said, David, he said, you don't know how much you bless me. I said, what? I was sleeping. He said, no, you don't know how much it blessed me to see you feel such at home in my house that you could just fall asleep on the couch. Thank you. That is the home that we want. That I haven't forgotten that. And I pray that as a follower of Christ, you understand this is part of your calling. Some have a greater gift of hospitality than others. But no matter whether you're gifted in that or not, I pray that you'll recognize your home, your apartment, coffee shops, your car, the places that God has given you of where you can host, of where you can care and refresh others. God designed this, not just for the early church, but for the church.